Good morning and welcome into Big Talk, college sports with a Midwest perspective, blue collar and blue blood. If you're joining us on the visual medium, well, you've already seen the delight of what we have here with the trio screen in front of you. But if you're on the audio platform, we have the OG crew back in form for this one. I'm Dalton Scheller. We got Sam Sprunger on the far side, Tony Hollinsworth in the middle. We haven't done one with all three of us together in quite some time. This is exciting.
It's been a minute.
I know.
How are we?
For anybody that's wondering, it's not like Batman. Bruce Wayne and Batman are not the same.
Dalton and Tony are not the same.
Totally separate personalities. Although I tried my best Dalton impersonation. I had all my MSU stuff on at one point. I had my Michigan State beanie on last episode. So, I mean, I've been trying, Dalton. I've been trying.
Well, and it's been a couple months. How many schools do you own now? Because you have LSU, you've got Michigan State. How many different ones do you have?
Oh, man. I'm through at least a quarter of the Division I at this point. Like, my closet is getting overstuffed. I'm always going to have a winner to root for. That's my motto.
You got Wisconsin in the closet yet? Or
absolutely not. I said winner. Winner.
W for winner.
As you can tell, the vibes are high on a Friday. We got a lot to get into here this episode because college football, we're kind of heading to the finish line. The playoff is coming up here. What is that? Monday will be the college football playoff semifinal matchups. I'm getting all confused with the holidays and days of the week. But, yeah, January 1st is Monday. I see Sam still.
They're playing Monday? I thought it was the 31st still.
No, they're playing the 1st.
Okay. I don't know. Last year was the 31st because Ohio State missed the field goal as the clock went to 12.
One of the most epic ways to ring in a new year I've ever experienced, even though it was against the Big Ten. Just any sporting event that dramatic happening seconds away from the ball drop was terrific.
It was literally the quietest I've ever heard this area at midnight because I'm in the middle of Ohio. So,
well, and it's funny. This actually came up just a couple days ago as just an off story. We're speaking with our neighbors about getting together for New Year's again this year. And they're like, yeah, remember we did that last year. And I'm sitting there at this age, you know, in my 20s, I can't remember anything. I'm like, we did. And I'm like, that's right, because Ohio State missed the field goal. We were there together. Like, that's how I recollect the new year now of 2023. Anyways,
you know, what makes me upset about that statement, Dalton?
What's that?
I'm in my 20s. I'm getting older. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Now, Dalton, there's a name for that. It's called part-timers, because you only forget part of your stuff. You haven't forgotten all of it yet.
That's great. I'm actually going to pocket that one. I enjoy that one a lot.
I might as well step in the grave.
Oh, I'm aware it's all downhill from here. I'm aware. But so we got college football playoff to talk about. The bowl season as a whole, we can discuss a little bit because there's something interesting here to me anyways. I have a bit of a take where I've 180'd my thought process. And, of course, we have Big Ten basketball, both men's and women's, getting ready to kick up. And there's some pretty good games happening, at least on the women's side, tomorrow.
Yeah,
that'll certainly be interesting. I think the men are taking a couple more days before they fully kick back up. But
January 2nd is when they really – January 2nd is when they kick off the Big Ten season, but there are a lot happening today, but they're minor matchups.
Yeah. Well, and then like tomorrow is kind of an interesting one, at least from the camp that I kind of resided with, Michigan State and Indiana State. That'll be a fun men's game to watch because Indiana State
plays with Virginia. Pretty solid.
Yeah. So we got a couple of those before we get the Big Ten going, but let's start off with football. And let's start off here with the bowl season, because right now, the Big Ten is 3-0 in the bowl season. Minnesota won the Quick Lane Bowl. Northwestern won the Las Vegas Bowl, I believe, over Utah. And then yesterday, Rutgers defeated Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl. So the Big Ten is 3-0. Fellas, do you take any stock in the fact that the Big Ten is 3-0?
No.
Tony?
No, not really. I mean, we talked about this last year about this time, and we've kind of talked about this throughout the season about how really at the end of the year, these bowl games just don't matter as much anymore. We've talked about how much money the NCAA, these conferences, whether they want to give the power to the NCAA or not, they're missing out on a ton of money with some of these bowls, because you look at a lot of these guys, they're either going to come back for next season. They don't want to start out getting hurt or have a major injury that's going to derail them for, you know, an extended period of time and potentially move into the following season. And, you know, a lot of these guys are potentially going to the NFL draft. So a lot of them is kind of the same way. It's like, I don't want to get hurt before the combine. I don't want to hurt my draft stock. I want to be able to, you know, take my game to the next level. So a lot of these games that, you know, it's kind of your, what we could consider in the NFL, like your second and third stringers, a lot of your freshmen, your sophomore guys kind of getting playing time just to see what you've got on the depth chart, just to see what you've got to look forward to the next year. So some of these bowl games, they really don't matter. I know we've talked about it. I would much rather have one of these matchups in the middle of the season, because it would mean so much more. The matchups would mean so much more.
That, you know, Cotton Bowl sticks out to me like that, Tony. Ohio State and Mizzou, I would have loved to see both of those teams at full strength.
Oh, yeah, because you think about it. Mizzou has probably had one of its best seasons since coming into the SEC, literally the same year that it came into the SEC. It's having one of its best. They went toe-to-toe with just about everybody that they faced. And then, of course, Ohio State rolled pretty much everybody throughout the entire year. So yeah, it would be so much more interesting to see, you know, and, you know, we would still have a Kyle McCord there. And unfortunately, we don't have Kyle McCord there anymore. He was a very disappointed man on the Syracuse sideline.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Sam, what do you got?
You know what the bowl season is, other than the games that matter, the three that matter, which are the Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl this year, or Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and the championship game. Those are the three games that matter. The rest are preseason at the end of the season. And what does that accomplish? I mean, really, honestly, I mean, you got to make them matter, or you're just getting extra practices. That's the only benefit these teams are getting. They're not playing for anything other than a trophy or a Pop-Tart that you can eat from a mascot that is really creepy. But other people loved it. And I, to me, it was just weird. But anyways, if you make these preseason games, these bowls are a lot more exciting because you have the whole season that matters behind it. And those games actually play into something that matters. Then they don't matter now. I went to the Quick Lane Bowls. I sent you the Lane Bowl. I sent you the picture, or, you know, of my boys and me there, and they said the attendance was 28,000 people. Dalton, there was no way. Tony, there was no way there was 28,000 people there. I'm guessing paid attendance. My youngest even looked at me and said, maybe they're counting the workers.
Maybe. Because honestly, looking at some of the ticket prices for some of the bowls right now, like Ole Miss versus Penn State, you can get a ticket for $59. Auburn versus Maryland, $22. Tony, like, none of them are expensive.
Tony, I paid $7 a ticket on fees for a $1 ticket to the Quick Lane Bowls.
That's insane.
So they were selling tickets for $1 each, and they were so in not demand, Tony Dalton, that I bought 5 and the guy sent me 9.
That's insane.
He couldn't get rid of them. I bought them the day of, a few hours before the game, so he just sent me as many as he wanted.
You say, I know in the NFL the Panthers were actually selling tickets
45 cheapest.
Yeah, 45 cents a ticket.
That is crazy.
But my point is, you know, I looked at the team crowds. Bowling Green was just down the road, so they packed their side. Minnesota had about 2/3 of their seats that were filled, and only about half of them were in Minnesota colors. So I mean, like, if you had to travel to Detroit from Minnesota, you weren't not a ton of them were making the trip. You know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Well,
although Minnesota does have a really good running back. He ran all over the place.
Yeah.
Against Bowling Green. So
yeah, no, that was an impressive display. But I will go ahead and zag where you guys are zigging a little bit. Overall, your point, I completely agree with, and this has actually been my mindset for the last several years. Uh-oh. With the bowl,
he's gonna run an alley-oop or a reverse on us right now. Watch, Tony, here it comes.
But here's what I'm thinking. You alluded to the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Yeah, that's only fun.
I'm in. So it's instead of three,
I didn't say that it was wrong.
Instead of three bowl games that matter to me, there's 5. I look forward to, and I did this like subconsciously, Duke Mayo, Pop-Tarts Bowl, and you know what? The Toastry Bowl was up there for me, where they're throwing bread after the game and there's toast angels happening on the field. Bowl.
You know what they should do? They should make breadcrumbs and fling it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But to me, honestly, and this kind of happened subconsciously, I wasn't really paying attention to like my viewing habits, but I started going through and looking at bowl season games day to day and be like, nah, not interested in any of these. Duke's Mayo. Okay. I'll carve out time. Like I'm watching that game.
Played yet?
They have played already.
Virginia won the Duke.
So Mayo he got Mayo.
Bowl. Yes, he did. And then, of course, Kansas State won the Pop-Tart Bowl last night.
Did you see how they brought the edible mascot out?
Yes. It was Jesus. That live mascot, by the way, hilarious. The entire game.
I liked the mascot, but then when he kills himself by jumping into a toaster.
Well, and what was it? I need to pull up the tweet so I have it for sure. But Roger Sherman, who's been in football media for a while, tweeted this out last night. Let me find the still shot he has. He says, I asked if it was offensive to eat a Pop-Tart in front of the Pop-Tarts Bowl mascot. And then its handler yelled out, "It's their dream." And then the mascot grabbed a Pop-Tart out of my hand and started force feeding it to me while making soft grunting noises.
Soft grunting noises?
Soft grunting noises.
Oh, grunting.
I am telling you, I am here for this being what bowl season is now. I am 100% here for just being as wacky and zany as that.
Can we bring up something though? Can we bring back an old beef that you have? Can we bring back the Dalton has beef with Wendy's about not sponsoring a bowl?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Why doesn't bring the Wendy's old beef have back?
A bowl?
I would love that and just roast people. Like I have totally like come 180 on this to the point where I'm like, you know what? All those other bowl games, I really, whatever. But, I mean, the college football playoffs matter. And this, I am here for corporate partners just using a bowl game as a three-hour infomercial about how much fun they can be. And that's what Pop-Tarts did. That's what Duke's Mayo's been doing.
I think soft grunting got me.
Has force feeding a Pop-Tart to you.
And you can see in the photo here, this is going to be bad because it's from my phone, but I'll pull it up to the screen for our visual audience. But here is the photo that Roger Sherman shared.
Oh, goodness.
Being force fed the Pop-Tart
while
from the Pop-Tart mascot.
Softly grunts.
I'm telling you, I am here for that. So I've kind of come 180 on bowl season. Like I will mark and I will watch those games next year because that's fun.
But at the same time, Dalton, couldn't you have that fun at the beginning of the year at those bowl games?
I don't disagree. I also don't know if everybody, I don't know if the environment allows for that because
I get that.
Coaches and players lean into this here where they're grabbing the Pop-Tart, the edible Pop-Tart and flinging it after.
So there's two things I've got, I don't disagree. The fun stuff, but how many of those do you watch that are fun?
Right now, three. Toastery Bowl's on my list now for next year.
Three. Of how many bowls?
40?
42, yeah. I believe.
42?
So you're holding out for six teams playing a game that doesn't matter over the 84.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
100%. Yeah.
But my point on that one is, I don't disagree that part's fun. Somebody has done a good job in their marketing for those bowls. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, not to knock the Quick Lane Bowls, but had I not gotten one of their program flyers with the rosters, I wouldn't even have known. Like
who's playing in there?
The branding and stuff around was all
Lions. The Quick Lane. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not expecting them to totally do a revamp, but like it was just it's different.
Well, and I'm with you. And that's why I think for, again, the vast majority, they don't matter. But like I said, subconsciously, this was not a concentrated effort. I just started noticing that I started marking down those games because they're fun and they magnetize me in. I wish more and more bowl games would do that. I wish the corporate partners would be like, you know what? Let's just have 3 hours of ridiculous fun, celebrate this game of football where half of the team's even playing. Let's just have fun. And I think that approach actually works. And I think it did for Pop-Tarts last night.
I think we need to petition somebody, and this is and bear with me on this. It would make one more bowl happy for you to watch. Okay, since the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit is the only Midwest bowl game, right? There's no other bowl game. First off, I'm shocked that Wrigley doesn't have one. Just a thing, but anyways, but Because, you know, you've got Fenway and Yankee Stadium. But anyways, my point being on this is only Midwest bowl game. You get a Midwest company to sponsor it. Yeah, I get it. Quicklane is a Detroit company. But you know what? Let's get some big... I'd never heard of Quicklane until they started sponsoring a bowl game. So let's get somebody like, oh, geez. Well, you know what? Let's get Wendy's to sponsor that bowl. Let's start a petition and really get Wendy's to sponsor the bowl in Detroit. That way we have yet another bowl, because you know that their Twitter... Well, I'm sorry. Their platform, formerly known as Twitter, is going to explode. They'll have their own bowl handle. So, like, they can just let this rip.
Yeah.
And whoever's running their social media is brilliant. So, and then they can get a mascot that's maybe, you know, I don't know, just a cell phone walking around with insults. I don't know.
You say, yeah, that would be the only thing that would kind of worry me, because as a fan watching this, like, I would love to just see the Wendy's roast, but it's not as fun if the other person just doesn't fight back. And I feel like not a whole lot of people know they don't want to go toe to toe with the Wendy's social media account.
Well, you just described how the Pop-Tart, you know, force fed somebody a Pop-Tart. You know, can you imagine somebody walking up to a Wendy's mascot that is a cell phone that gives you insults, and then just all of a sudden an insult pops up or whatever? You know, it'd be great.
I'm kind of with that. I am kind of with that.
I like it.
Well, and by the way, I just looked at the time. We should make sure we get the college football playoff here. So I'm going to segue us into those semifinal matchups on New Year's Day, even though Sam seems to be disgusted with that. But
he's actually having fun talking about
it. I know. That's what I'm saying. Bowl season's been able to bring us a little bit of fun. This seems to be the alley for these games.
I still think. And you know what? You can still have bowls at the end of the season, you know, but have the big, like, does anybody care about the Poinsettia Bowl?
That one didn't make my list.
Okay. Well, why is it played? I mean.
No, I'm with you.
So let's make those preseason games to where those bowls still get their teams in. They still get their revenue. And these guys play a game that matters.
Yeah, I'm not against that at all. Let's move to January 1st, New Year's Day, college football playoff semifinal matchups. We have Michigan and Alabama there in that one. Then, of course, you have Texas and Washington on the other side of the playoff bracket. But let's start off with the Rose Bowl, Michigan, Alabama. Tony, let's start with you. What do you have here? Who do you think wins and why?
As much as I hate to say it, I have Alabama winning this one.
Okay.
And I only say that because I'm going off of what have I had with Michigan in the past as compared to what have I had with Alabama in the past. And unfortunately, the only one that has really been successful the last few years in any type of capacity has been Alabama. With
in
Michigan,
postseason, you're saying, right?
Yeah,
like exclusively. Okay.
Yeah. With Michigan, we don't really know what we're getting. You know, the first year in recent years that they went to the playoffs, they were riding the Ohio State wave. They finally beat them. They got knocked out by a pretty, really good Georgia team. But for the most part, I think we could all kind of chuck that up to Michigan was riding a big confidence ego wave, and they were just happy they beat Ohio State. So that's what they were going with. The following year, they come in really, really cocky. They beat Ohio State again. And then they come in and they kind of underestimate a TCU Cinderella, you know, story team, and they end up getting beat by them. This year, I don't really know what to expect out of Michigan. They haven't had their coach for like five or six, what was it, six games or five? Mm-hmm.
Six.
That's right. So, you know, the first three games of the season, but they were all against cupcake teams. So we couldn't really tell what Michigan was then, because it's cupcake teams. They were going to beat them. But the last three games, though, without Jim, is when they probably struggled the absolute most with every single team that they played. Now, they played solid teams. They played Penn State. They played Maryland. They played Ohio State.
Don't forget they struggled. Played Purdue.
They did play Purdue. they did play Purdue. But they struggled against every single one of those teams. And so that kind of makes me wonder, wait a minute. You know, you're coming to the end of the season. You're on a roll. Yes, it's against conference opponents, but you're struggling to beat them. And it's also, and again, it might just be purely coincidence, but it's after the whole sign stealing thing. The one gentleman is now gone. Harbaugh gets suspended. So It's just weird because I don't know what to expect from Michigan. And am I getting a Michigan team that's going to try to run the ball like they should? Are they going to try to have J.J. McCarthy actually pass the ball against Alabama? And on the other side, Alabama has done a complete in-season switch as well. After that Texas loss, they, you know, they struggled against USF of all teams. They only beat them like 17-3, which any other time that would not be the case. But Alabama kind of struggled a little bit towards the end of the season as well. Against Auburn, they only won 27-24, and against Georgia, they only won 27-24, but they're the only team to have beaten Georgia in the last, you know, 2 years, basically. Mm-hmm. So when I kind of look at who I think is going to be the best coach, even though they may not look it during the regular season, if there's anybody that's going to have his team well coached and coached up ready to go for a, you know, playoff tournament battle, and the only team, honestly, in these playoffs that has been in this situation and has been here multiple times before is Alabama. So I know the current prediction is it's 56.2% given in Michigan's favor, according to the analytics. But Michigan's only favored, the spread is only by -2. So I'm unfortunately going to have to go with Bama on this one, as much as that pains me to say, because I dislike both teams.
As much as Tony loves all teams, he hates all teams. It's the Jekyll and Hyde of Tony.
It is. I either love them or hate them. There's no in between.
Sam, what do you got here?
I'm going with Michigan. I really honestly just think that they're the best team at this point. I don't think that they're playing the best, but I think they're the best team at this point. They've kind of proven that, other than maybe an undefeated team that's not in the playoff, but we'll digress on that. But still, my point being is I think they do have an injury that they I forget who the lineman was against Ohio
State. Zach Zinter.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I think there will be a little bit of, you know, musical chairs to try to, you know, solidify that line. But I think that they've still got one of the best lines in the country. Mm-hmm. They still have one of the best running backs in the country, running back duos even, in the country. And Alabama, like Tony said, they were literally 0.1% away, or 99.9% away from being eliminated out of playoff contention. Which, let's think about that. Had Auburn won and Alabama went and beat Georgia, is Georgia still in the playoff?
Ooh. Honestly, I would say no.
I think the only reason Alabama's there and not Georgia is because they played each other and then they said, "Oh crap, we can't have no SEC team."
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. But we can't not have a playoff without an SEC team, even though this year probably was the 1 year that came to fruition and should have happened.
But my point being is,
go ahead.
You would have a lot of firsts, though, because if that happened, it'd be the first time you'd never have an SEC team or SEC champion in the playoffs. You'd have your first ever two-loss team in the playoffs on top of
Alabama wouldn't have been in the playoff if they would have gotten beat by Auburn.
Okay.
I think Florida State would have made it.
I don't know if Florida State would have made it or if they still would have put Georgia in, said Georgia's 12-1.
Georgia could have. But yeah. My thing is they didn't they've tied their success, the CFP, to the SEC being in there, because obviously they're going to compete to win. Mm-hmm. There are going to be down years, and I'm not even saying this is necessarily a down year, but your utmost best team, in my opinion, from the SEC got beat in the mm-hmm. championship game. Again, they got punished for playing an extra game
that wasn't on their original schedule. Yeah. They had won, what, 29 straight games?
29 yep, in a 29. Row, and then they lose one game by 3 points to a team that is damn good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And they get knocked to fifth, yeah, where they'd been 95% of the season. I don't get that, but still, my point being is I think there's a lot of ifs and, you know, question marks for Alabama. I think Michigan's got enough to hold on to it and get to the championship game this year.
Oh, what's interesting is I'm going to go with Tony on this one, and it's not just because of, you know, Michigan State allegiances right. or fan interests. I think it's Bama. And the reason why I think it's Bama is a big part of what Tony was saying. I mean, it's exactly how I've been looking at this one is those last 3 weeks. I mean, they beat Penn State and didn't throw a single pass in the second half. I don't think they can do it against Bama's defense.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
I think to win a game like this in a playoff semifinal, you have to be more than one dimensional. I just think that's going to penalize you. And I'm not confident right now in the passing game for as good as JJ McCarthy was to begin that year, because JJ was looking like a Heisman contender for a long time. His efficiency marks were off the charts, looked phenomenal. And now we've seen this kind of drop off in just the passing game as a whole, where I have lost confidence there. And on the other side of this, as Tony mentioned, Alabama's kind of went through its own switch with Jalen Milroe at quarterback. Big Ten doesn't have a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Michigan has not seen a dual threat quarterback like that this year. And I'm curious how that changes things schematically and how Michigan's able to adjust the just because it's a different look. I mean, forget just the talent itself, but it's a different look than what Michigan's had to play all year. I just have a couple of question marks on that side. And I think Alabama sitting at a 4 seed with the pressure on Michigan, I think that's a dangerous game. And we've seen Nick Saban win it again from that 4 seed in the past. I think this might just be the case again this time.
I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm not like 100% secure saying this is going to happen. No, to me, it's a coin flip. And personally, I don't think whoever wins that game wins the championship anyway.
So. No.
Oh, interesting. That's going to lead to a good segue. But I will say this too. How many of these playoffs have we had the 1 versus 4 just be already chalked up before the game kicked off?
Sure. Yeah.
It's kind of refreshing to be kind of up in the air with who's going to win this one and have what we expect to be a good game.
Dalton, yeah. You just said it was refreshing that Alabama's 4th.
It kind of honestly, Alabama is an underdog. I don't know why, but I kind of can get behind it. Maybe it's because they're playing Michigan. I don't know. But
probably, you're picking the lesser of two.
Let's go to the other semifinal matchup, Texas and Washington. So a bit of a spoiler alert, but Sam had said he's got this winner being the national champion, and Tony kind of nodded in agreement. So do you both have the same winner in this game?
I'm going to let Tony call. Actually, he called it. See, we do not have the same.
Oh, look at this.
I think Washington, I told you this, 5 weeks into the season, I thought Washington was the best team in the country, and they were 5th. Mm-hmm. They went through a little bit of a rocky patch, but they still won every game. And let's think about everybody they've gotten put in front of them. They've been told they were going to get beat, or this is where they're going to stumble. And they just went and won it anyways. They beat Oregon, who was many people thought was the best team in playing the best football in the country. And they beat them in the
twice.
They beat them in the Pac-12 in the title, championship because everybody I saw was saying Oregon's winning this championship.
Well, and to pause there for a moment, that might have been the most jarring thing from this past college football season was heading into that game. That spread was so ginormous in favor of the Ducks. And it's really just because Washington was not playing like themselves.
I'm not going to lie. They were struggling.
Yeah. And then for them to come into that game and they just opened up a can Washington, Washington, if things are clicking, like it's really clicking.
I'm riding the Husky train.
Okay.
So next year, the Big Ten will have a national champion walking in the door. And it will be a national championship or a Big Ten national championship.
Oh, that's right. You do have Michigan and Washington. Yeah.
A Rose Bowl. They should be playing it in Pasadena.
That's a great idea, actually.
They should be playing it in Pasadena, but they're not. They're in Georgia this year or something? I don't remember. No, Houston.
Yeah.
Tony, you got Texas. Why?
Well, I look at Texas and you look at, honestly, even though it was early in the season, we saw Bama struggling super badly early in the season. I'll be honest with you. I did not expect Jalen Milroe to get his job back the way that Alabama was struggling at first. But for Texas to literally roll everybody that they faced, with the exception of Oklahoma, and
Was a heck of a game. If you have not watched that Red River rivalry this year, that was amazing.
They scored with 40 some seconds left?
Yeah, it was 34-30. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better, you know, Red River Showdown as far as how that goes against Oklahoma, who at the time was, you know, one of the, you know, top 12 teams in the country. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was a fantastic game. And, you know, if anybody is going to beat you, it's going to be the person that you face every single year as far as the biggest rivalry game. I mean, look at Ohio State versus Michigan, you know, look at Bama versus Auburn. You know, those are the big games that we always want to see. We always want to watch. So this is one of those that, yes, you know, Texas stumbled against Oklahoma, but then they immediately righted the ship and they beat every single person after that as well. And most of them, they beat pretty heartedly. Now they struggled a little bit against Kansas State. They struggled a little bit against TCU. But then after that, they pretty much beat everybody. And the fact of how that they were able to beat Bama, especially early in the season, they just physically dominated them. I mean,
you're
the line of scrimmage, they absolutely
controlled.
You think
Alabama's going to lose twice to Texas this season? You think absolutely. Nick Saban isn't going to be so prepared for Texas that it's stupid?
Sam, I got three words for you. Texas is back.
I thought it was going to be all right, all right, all right.
I've got
all
one
right,
response.
All right, all right.
I got one word response.
But no, I mean, looking at how Texas has been able to manhandle a lot of teams, and it's no offense to Washington. I think for Washington, they are coming in a lot better tested than what I thought they would be with Oregon, especially with how Dan Lenning has set up that Oregon team. Because if you kind of look at how Oregon kind of plays like an SEC team would play as mm-hmm. far as their style, their personnel that they've went and got, and Washington's beaten them twice. So they have a pretty good battle test, but Texas has some of the biggest players. They use some of the biggest bully players, and I think they're going to be able to just manhandle Washington, all honesty. So yeah, I think it's going to be, and again, kind of plays into a little bit of the conspiracy theory that I've talked about. And I know we've talked about who is probably going to get the biggest draw as far as a matchup for the, you know, national championship goes. What better than Texas versus Alabama? No.
The rematch of the playoff the year before when Georgia plastered Michigan would have been so much more of a storyline than big name storyline than TCU's shock in the world, because there was not one person that thought TCU could win that football game. But if Michigan would have been there, Michigan would have had at least some semblance of them getting a chance to win. I can't get behind that.
So you're saying it would have been 63-10.
Maybe. But my point being is that I don't think that's accurate. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, if we take a look here, Sam's got Michigan versus Washington, two Big Ten teams next year. Tony has Alabama and Texas, two SEC teams next year. So we're kind of going both ways here. I'm going to split the difference because I've got Bama winning against Michigan, but I think Washington beats Texas. And for much of the reason we just talked about, I think when Washington was playing at full strength, Washington's offense was clicking at a level that was just kind of unparalleled. And I think Tony's right about the size of maybe some of the different positions, but I will point out Washington's size at receiver. I think they're going to be able to get in the open field and be able to use some of that size, because Washington's receivers are huge. Like they are way bigger than the average receivers. I think they're going to be able to use some of that strength in the open field and some of that size. And I mean, I think a lot of the struggles, we kind of kept asking the question and the mystery of, is Michael Penix hurt? Is that why things are struggling a little bit? And he put that jacket on that one game as he was exiting the field, and it was all just kind of mysterious. And then they bounced back in that championship game. They've had a month to rest. I think with that time being said and time to recover, I like Washington all the way there. So I'm going Bama and Washington. Listeners can mark this. That way they can point out how wrong we are. But I got Bama, Washington. Tony's got Bama and Texas. And Sam has Michigan and Washington.
Look at it this way. We have every possible championship covered right here. So, oh, no, we don't. I'm sorry. We don't have a Texas, Michigan. So I apologize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's what's going to happen.
Texas and Michigan will play. Yes. That's correct. That is correct.
Okay.
And then, You know, you want to know what I'd be most excited about? I'm most excited when or if that happens, when Dalton throws up the horns. That's what I'm waiting for.
I can do that. I can throw up the horns if Texas officially is back and they stamp it. Which, by the way, I'm looking forward to a Texas resurgence, because the Vince Young days back in like my childhood days, those were some of the best times of college football to me. But okay, so before we dismount from college football playoff talk, is there anything else either of you want to say about these two semifinal matchups before they kick off?
I'm good on Washington, because I just, while Texas has a win against Alabama, they played in a Big 12 that wasn't near as, this year at least, as competitive and as successful as the Pac-12 was. And Washington walked through that undefeated. Well, I'm not going to say walked as in strolled, but they went through that and played an Oregon State who had an absolute amazing season this year. Mm-hmm. They beat, now granted, USC was down, but they're still USC. They've got that gravitas. They beat Utah. I mean, they beat everybody mm-hmm. that they played. And there were, to me, there are bigger matchups that they played than what Texas did. I don't know. I just can't get behind Texas being a win in this game, but it will happen because that's what I
picked. That's what always happens. Yeah, no, I mean, I could see it, because I mean, let's be honest. If there was ever a conference that probably had its absolute best year, unfortunately, in its last year, yeah, it was the Pac-12. So
Oregon State and Washington State will have that to hang their hat on. Hey, we had the national champion or a team in the playoffs last year.
Hey, the Pac-2. You know what I can guarantee? I can guarantee Washington State and or Oregon State are going to be in the playoffs next year, because they're going to represent the Pac-2 with pride in their
undefeated season, conference season.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's go ahead now and move to basketball.
Nothing. Thanks.
Well, I already gave my thoughts. That was good.
You didn't even respond. Just
I won't lie. I was knee deep in injury updates on Big Ten women's basketball. So I kind of tuned that part out. So, you know, okay. I'll drive the ship over to Big Ten women's basketball now. Because tomorrow we've got quite a few good games on tap. Michigan State travels to Penn State. These are two teams that are receiving votes in the latest top 25. Both teams really, really good at creating turnovers. This should be an interesting game. And actually, what I was looking up and why I missed out on what Sam said, I still don't even know what you said.
See, you don't even know. Who it was that said it.
Well, and I'll go ahead and mention. So McKenna Marisa is the star for Penn State. I mean, she's one of the top scorers in the Big Ten. She got her in Columbus in an overtime game at Ohio State. She has not played recently, and I have yet to see if she's going to be available for this game. If she's able to play against Michigan State, this is a 4 o'clock tip. Without Marisa, it changes this game quite a bit. That doesn't mean Penn State certainly can't win, because Penn State is great, and Leilani Kapanis and some of the other Lions on that team are really, really solid. But I think it really does make a pretty big difference, and I couldn't find out still if she's healthy or not. So I'm not sure what happens there. But we talked about rivalry games. Ohio State and Michigan tomorrow at noon in women's basketball. That should be an interesting one as well. Ohio State, I don't know how much you've all caught so far here early in the season. Ohio State's athleticism and their full court pressure is just off the charts.
I think they're going to be a contender, Dalton. They're the one team
I agree. I
thought over IU even. And I think I thought IU was second. You know, the more I got to looking at it, I was just like, yeah, they're going to, Ohio State's going to do it, because they've got most of their stuff back, most of their pieces back this year.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, last year, if I remember right, they were a top five team almost all season.
They were number two, and they went 19-0, number two in the country until right at the end or at the beginning of Big Ten, or about midway through Big Ten season, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, and then they unfortunately
had some
stumbled.
Injuries and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, up until then, yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if I kind of agree if Ohio State doesn't, you know, figure out how to, okay, we know how to do this. We've done this before. Now we're back. Let us, you know, let us start to run the table and start the grind to, you know, get back up there.
I mean, they only lost by six to UCLA, and UCLA is number two in the country. So I mean, they're a good team. And they've got a lot going for them. I think that they could definitely be a team that that puts some pressure on Caitlin Clark in Iowa and maybe even overtakes them.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest too, it's hard whenever you do a feat like 19-0 in any type of a sport, you know, men's, women's, whichever, that's hard to do. And the first time that you mess up is probably when you get criticized and when you get destroyed the most. Yeah. And so that's when your confidence is going to be at an all-time low, and you are kind of shaking because it's like, wait a minute, you know, what the heck? And then if you lose again, it just starts this downward spiral of, okay, wait a minute, we were doing so good. Now we make a mistake or two mistakes, and now, you know, we're having to try to catch ourselves back. We're trying to figure out an identity. We're trying to get people to kind of respect us again. You know, they've already kind of gotten that out of the way. It's like, okay, we do have room for mistakes. We have room for error. It doesn't mean it's going to ruin our season. And again, we can still make the climb back up, and we're still one of the best teams in the country.
And so far, what, early on, they've showed that. Go ahead, Sam.
J.C. Sheldon is a stud.
Yeah. Just saying. Well, I mean, they're just loaded. Cody's so good. And then you look at Taylor Theory, Ricky Harris. Like, mm-hmm. it's a loaded squad that they got. But somebody had mentioned Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I think it was Sam. And that Ohio State can maybe overtake them. Iowa's got a Big Ten contest against Minnesota tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
12-1 against 11-0.
And Minnesota, in the first year under head coach Don Plitzewite, has really looked sharp. Mara Braun has been off the charts. They battle each other in this game. And here's what's really interesting to me about this one, too, is we continue to track all the great feats of Caitlin Clark. She's at 3,114 career points right now. Again, 3,114 career points. She's 1 point behind Lori Ballman from Drake on the all-time scoring list, climbing the chart. And then also within reach of this game is Patricia Hoskins from Mississippi Valley State, who played there in the 80s. She has 3,122. So Clark gets 9 points. She would then move into what I believe is fifth all-time in career points on the scoring list. So she continues to climb the ladder as she chases Kelsey Plum, the all-time leader, with 3,527 career points.
Dalton, didn't we talk about this, that she'll probably break it this year, and then if she comes back next year, she's going to make it impossible to get caught?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's 400 points away. She's already scored 350 this season, I think.
Not even halfway through the season.
She's averaging 30 and a half a game.
And there's still 17 games left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the amount, yeah.
And there could be postseason run, too.
What she's averaging, she'll break it before the postseason or before the Big Ten tournament, and the rest of us just going to keep padding it and making it more and more impossible to get there, especially if they go 6 games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's really pretty phenomenal, and she's kind of going to be on the heels of Pistol Pete's mark all time as well. But outside of those games, again, great games. Then you have Rutgers Northwestern at 3 o'clock, and Wisconsin and Purdue will tip at 6. But I do also want to mention here too, because I kind of glossed over the Michigan State Penn State game, which again might just be the most competitive, I'm thinking, out of the games. Like, that seems to be two teams that have been on the same track a little bit that are going to collide.
Unless Minnesota's for real this year.
Yes. Yeah. I think Minnesota could be really interesting if Braun just plays out of her mind like she has been throughout most of the year. But Penn State has Shade Chesky on their squad, a sophomore who just dropped 40 points in the last timeout for Penn State, set a school record hitting 15 threes.
No way.
Or
that's 45 points.
Yeah, that can't be right. But I saw that in my research. I'll pull that back up because I'm not really sure what I'm missing there, but I read something about a school 12? Record 15 threes.
12 out of 15.
I'll circle back on that one. Let's switch over to the men's side for a moment while I pull up that research, because for the men today, there's a bunch of non-conference games. I'm scrolling through the list and there's a lot of
warm-up games.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Michigan State hosts Indiana State. We were talking about that one, I think, earlier in the show. That one should be interesting. Indiana State, so far, 11-1 this year. I think they're hanging around top 50 in the net ranking. But Indiana State, the Sycamores, have had a great start to their year. Ohio State and West Virginia at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Those should be some pretty good games.
Yeah, this is the time frame where it just kind of goes, well, we're just kind of treading water until we can get to the conference season to kick off. And so there's not, I think the Ohio State game is going to be interesting to watch tomorrow, because I'm not really 100% sure how good West Virginia, and how is it a home game for West Virginia when it's in Cleveland? I don't get that. I mean, West Virginia looks like they're struggling a little bit, and you can kind of expect that, but it's still got a name that you kind of think could be something that could be competitive. But that Michigan State Indiana State game is one that I will pay attention to, simply because, Indiana State doesn't play horribly, and they're always pretty competitive. They don't always win, but occasionally they do. But I'm not saying they're going to beat Michigan State, but it'll be interesting to see, because Michigan State rebounded so well that if they what's this team? We're also talking about the team that lost to James Madison. Again, James Madison's good, but Baylor's number six, when they played them and beat them, throttled them.
Yeah.
And Dalton, I made this comment last week. What's the fact that Michigan State dismantled the Baylor so badly, and Baylor only dropped four spots in the polls? What's that say about the voters, what they think about Michigan State?
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, and the rankings are always, kind of touch and go.
I get that, but it's four spots to a non-ranked team that they got blown out on a neutral court?
And there you got to see a little bit when Michigan State is clicking what they can be. And they kept that going against Stony Brook. I mean, they dominated Stony Brook as well. One of the big questions to me, and this is the sad part of what's going on. There's just no way, to politely put it or gently put it, but for Jeremy Fears Jr. over this Christmas break to be shot where he may end up missing the rest of the season. I mean, first off, let's prayers, thoughts alive for that family. Yeah, no kidding. And if you read the details of the reports that are out there, like, he was shot and then instantly helped another gunshot victim that night, and was applying pressure to their stomach and trying to help a young woman out who was also shot. That's so serious on a whole nother level than what basketball is. But then on the court, I don't know. I think Michigan State will be able to find ways to persevere through, but Jeremy Fears was starting to come along. He had 10 assists in that game against Stony Brook. And again, this is all very minor compared to what we're talking about with this young man. I don't want to just gloss over the fact that the young man was shot and really kind of was pretty heroic in helping out another gunshot victim in the same process.
Right.
And that, I mean, it's such a tragedy for him and his family. But that question certainly still lingers a little bit when looking at Michigan State here in the spring and how they come together.
Yeah, that didn't even register. I knew it happened, and it still didn't even register. But that could be, I would hope that Michigan State recovers and still keeps it up and plays to the extent, but that Fears is going to be a piece that they're going to miss, because like you said, he just started coming around, had a decent game against Stony Brook, and Michigan State was looking like they're recovering from that really early bad, like one of the worst Michigan State slumps that I've seen to start out a season. And but that's not to say that it still can't go well. I mean, Michigan State still has a ton in the cabinet.
Yep. And so it'll be interesting to see how that team kind of groups together. Tony, did you have something there?
Yeah, I was going to say too, it does give a lot of hope, because, even if unfortunately he does potentially miss the rest of the season, with Fears being out, this freshman group that Tom Izzo was able to recruit and bring in, if they stay with Michigan State, is going to be really good. I mean, I know statistically they're not really making that big of an impact as far as points go, but Cohen Carr, Xavier Booker, Jeremy Fears, all of them have been really, really good so far, being just young freshmen. And again, if they can keep them, Michigan State's going to continue to be really good for the next couple of years at least.
And the fourth member of that class is intended to be redshirted this year, but Garrick Norman eventually is going to be a nice project for this Michigan State team, a lot like the Matt McQuaid days for MSU, which will be really fun to see. A little bit of McQuaid.
That's a name.
Isn't it so good? He was so much fun to watch. And then, of course, with Big Ten play, one of the questions that now sits, I mean, we talk about things that happened off the court, Illinois and how they'll bounce back with the recent news of Taron Shannon Jr. Not that we'll dive into it, but just to see how they move along. Because, I mean, as he was sitting now, he was on pace to maybe be an All-American. Like, he was having that kind of season. So not diving into the situation off the floor, but on the floor, how does Illinois regroup around it will be interesting to see.
That was my thing, is they've got FDU today. So they're 6-7. As they get into the Big Ten season, how is that absence gonna you know, affect the Illini? And because he was the cog that was making the machine, you know, run smoothly. Not that he was the only thing happening, but like, you take that out, then all of a sudden you've got to find somebody to plug in, then it's not going to fit the same. And plus, then again, Dalton, you've got the gel problem then.
Yep.
All of a sudden you've got to put somebody new into a position that he was in, and he's not going to, that replacement more than likely isn't going to be able to produce at the levels that Shannon Jr. was. And so I don't know if Illinois drops significantly or just slightly, but I think you're going to see Illinois drop some.
Yeah.
But I will say one thing about the whole incident off the court. Hold off your judgment until things come out. Can we do that? Let's not crucify him or the victim or the alleged victim or anything. Let's make sure that all the stuff comes out before we decide what we're doing with him. Okay.
Yeah.
Get some information.
Yep.
Real quick before we get ready to say goodbye, a little bit of cleanup duty, like a PTI. I did find out, I did misread. So Penn State as a team hit 15 threes in women's basketball in that win over Central Connecticut. Shay Chesky hit 8 threes.
That's so still very impressive.
Still pretty good. I was going to say 15 did have like 40 a record points. Or something. I know, that's what I thought it was. I just thought it said 15 threes program record, but no, it was for a team. So
she
team
had
hit 15,
eight
but she
of
had
the
eight.
15 threes. Yep.
Okay, still 40 enough. Points. So that's something to watch tomorrow as Michigan State and Penn State battle there in Happy Valley. Okay, before we say goodbye, New Year's coming up. Any plans for New Year's? What's the traditions for the Hollinsworth and Sprunger duo here?
Well, Dalton, I've got four kids, all of them under the age of 16 or 16 or under.
Do they get to stay up or do you put them to bed?
Oh no, we let them stay up to midnight. It's okay. The one day that we let my 8-year-old stay up till midnight.
Cool.
willingly. So we do some hors d'oeuvres, and like last year we had football game on in the living room, ball in the sunroom, so we could walk back and forth, walk through the kitchen, grab something, go to the sunroom, vice versa back, you know. And so we did do that, and nothing really special. I don't drink anymore, so that's not. I don't go to any parties, or if I do, I'm the DD. So
do you do the sparklings?
No. Sparkling water? Sure. No, I have hated sparkling grape juice for my whole entire life. Even when I was really? Under 21, I drank it. Wow. And was like, oh God, this is horrible. Hmm. Yeah, that was me.
Good enough, Tony.
Yeah. So we're an Irish family. So typically we do what we call money cabbage. So there's like certain coins that we've had for literally longer than I've probably been around. Actually, Dalton, probably longer than you and I combined have been around. Wow. They throw these coins into the pot with the cabbage. You know, you're supposed to get a scoop of the cabbage soup, supposed to get money in it, and you're supposed to have good money and tithings all year. And also my least favorite meal of all time, they have corned beef. I hate corned beef with an absolute unholy passion.
Wow.
But that's usually ours. We don't really do too much of the whole, like most everybody in the family doesn't really stay up till midnight. That's usually my like passing for most day-to-day normalcies is staying up past midnight. So, I mean, it's just going to be another night for me.
Just part of the viewing experience.
If I could go to bed before midnight, I would.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm to that point in my life.
Yes. I did that a couple of years ago. It felt amazing. I really don't think I missed anything.
When we first adopted our boys, we did the Nickelodeon countdown that they do at 9 and send them to bed.
That's parenting 101. They were
all under the 10 or 8 under. So we were like, okay, 9 o'clock, go to bed. we even told them, we were like, look, you're not staying up till midnight. It'll be New Year. It's literally nothing other than what we're getting ready to do.
No different. No different at all. And
I said, let's think it this way. We're celebrating in London. Okay.
The television personalities don't even drink anymore, do they, when they're on air? Because that used to be part of the fun, was seeing
which one's going to stumble.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be kind of fun in that way.
If they are drinking, they're hiding it very well.
I say, who was it? Who was it?
Oh, no, it was Jenny McCarthy a few years ago was just drunker than all get out.
Well, do you remember? I think it was Cooper Anderson did it too. He like took a drink.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that
used
too.
To be fun. But so anyway, used to be fun. Well, it was Hell it was joyous. Fun to watch. Well, I don't know, like, anymore. The experience isn't that fun to watch for me. I just, you'd see the ball drop and there's a bunch of people there doing whatever in the crowd. Mm-hmm. But for us, we get together with friends and we play a couple of games, a little left, right, center, a little chasey ace.
Oh my gosh, left, right, center. Oh.
Classics. Classics. You ever
play that for money?
Yeah, we do that each Christmas. We put like a one in there and then we just end up giving it right back too. It's not really playing
for money. I've played it where you play the three chips, you replace them with quarters. And then the eight people that are playing, that's not a bad hand to pull in when you win.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to
Mr. Hartman, Mr. Holliball, those people I played left, right, center for money with.
God, that's DeKalb County Eastern legends. But that'll do it for us for another episode of Big Talk. Sam, Tony, you want to let the people know where they can find us?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, so you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, at B1G_talk. That is Big Talk. Replace the I with a one and then add an underscore in there. You can also find us on Facebook at Big Talk. Again, B1G Talk. Not all Big Talk. It's totally different. Not same. Not as cool. Same, same, but different, but not same. We're better. And we know it. But anyway, you can also find us wherever you catch your podcasts at, Google, Spotify, literally everywhere. You can get us on the All Sports All Plays Network. We're streamed there every week. You can also get us on their app on the Google Play Store and the Apple Play Store as well. Or you can also catch us on the audio and video side later that day on Spotify through the Lounge Media Group as well. This is twice in a row I've remembered, Sam. Twice.
I'm proud of
that. On a roll.
I really am.
On a roll.
Like a proud dad over there.
And
on
here
the
before
side.
Too long, it will be on Lounge Media, or LMG Radio, Lounge Media Group Radio.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, on behalf of Sam Sprunger, Tony Hollinsworth, myself, Dalton Shetler, do want to wish you all a very happy new year. Enjoy the time. We got the college football playoffs kicking off. Big Ten basketball ramps up in conference play. It's exciting time for Big Ten sports. But again, want to wish you all a very happy new year for 2024. And on behalf of all of us, so long, everybody.
Happy new year.
Okay, bye.